We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, I don't know if you knew this, Ryan, but you and I are on a crash course for the final week of the fantasy football season. In 2 weeks, you and I face off in the final week before the playoffs start, and it is very possible that if I win that game, I will find myself in the playoffs after being 1-7. How would you feel about being the guy that lost to me for me to get into the playoffs? What would that do to your psyche?
You know, as long as I get in too,
that's true.
I'd be okay with it.
That's true.
I'm doing okay right now in that league. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's quite the comeback for you. If you do make it all the way back to the playoffs, that's pretty impressive nonetheless.
Yeah, and me trading Joe Burrow 2 weeks before his terrible, unfortunate injury to Bruce Nolan has me feeling bad for Joe Burrow but very good for me.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of these leagues.
Isn't it?
And the trades. In another league I was in, someone really wanted, in a dynasty league too, Kenny Galladay and a few others, and I ended up getting a few Cowboys in the deal, including CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott, who, you know, they're not doing much this year, but Lamb in a dynasty league,
I'm looking
forward to that. I was able to get DK Metcalf in that trade. I mean, it was a huge deal. And obviously, right after that, Metcalf had a few good games in a row, so, you know, trades can really pay off, and sometimes you make one and it burns you because an injury happens just like that.
Quick update, too, by the way, for all those listening. And I know Corey is kind of doing a quick live tweet, so you can see them up at WGR550 on Twitter. Two plays, two Jared Patterson runs. The Bulls are up 6-0 against Kent State, and that's on CBS Sports Network. He took the first carry, Jared Patterson, 62 yards on the first carry of the game and brought it to the Kent State 3-yard line, which is can't be a surprise if you've been watching any UB football to start this early season. Ryan, On the Bills side of things, I kind of keep lamenting about how fantastically placed the Bills bye week was. I think for a lot of reasons, I think the Bills media, for the fans, for the players, maybe not so much the players. I think a lot of them would rather have played the very next week after that Arizona game. But from an injury perspective, this team is probably the healthiest, sans Matt Milano, who they're going to get in a week anyways, that they've been all season. How important to you is it that the timing of all this is working for them? Because we saw them go through what I would consider their slump. And they went 2-2 during that slump, by the way, where you play some less than stellar football offensively, but you find ways to get victories. You lose against the Chiefs and the Titans, but you squeak out a couple of really important wins against the Jets and a couple of other those teams that you look back and said you should win. But I keep thinking, and I've thought this all along, Ryan, of how important it is for this team to play their best football at the end of November and into December, and I think they're set up to do that.
Yeah, I agree completely. The bye week was, you know, in an ideal spot for them this year. Last year, the Bills were one of the healthiest teams in the league, so, you know, in a way, it didn't really matter where the bye was. The team was kind of rolling along without having to worry about any long-term injuries to any key contributors, whereas this year, you know, we've seen a lot of those key players go down or be limited with something. And obviously, they'll be without John Brown tomorrow and Cody Ford's injury for the rest of the year. That hurts a little bit in terms of the offensive line depth. But like you said, you look at that injury report and just about everyone else that was on that report this week is expected to play. You're going to be getting Matt Milano back likely next week. And the linebackers are suddenly playing good football those last 2 weeks before the bye. So he might be rejoining a unit where all of a sudden what was a weakness when he first went out is currently a strength, and maybe he can be eased back in a little bit, because even though I think this time on the IR has helped him, I still think it's an injury that could be lingering throughout the rest of this year because it was not a complete tear. So I think he has to be cautious with it all season.
Yeah, and like how do you think too that him being limited potentially affects this defense? And I guess the real question comes to, is a limited or partially limited Matt Milano better than, you know, what they've been doing with AJ Klein? Maybe as AJ Klein playing in a full role rather than a limited role, where maybe you take Matt Milano out on an early down and you bring Milano in second and third down, but you have AJ Klein in obvious rundowns. Like, is that maybe what you're going to see them try to do, is get creative, try to limit the exposure of Matt Milano while also playing and trying to use the limited strengths that AJ Klein does bring, maybe at the line of scrimmage as a pass rusher and in the run game?
Yeah, I absolutely could see that being the case. Now, obviously, we don't know Milano's overall health. That's something the team will hold close to their vest. So maybe he's closer to 100% than we think or than we know. But I think the way you laid it out makes a lot of sense. AJ Klein is playing the run really well. He's even being used as a situational pass rusher, going after the quarterback pretty well. So even if he's in on those early downs and they pass, you can have that be his role. But on those downs where you want a linebacker who's going to be in coverage, even if he's not 100%, Milano is a significant upgrade over Klein. So they can be smart with him. They can even have him rush the passer, utilize his skill set, even if he's not 100%. But, you know, if you can get him back for this home, the final stretch before the playoffs, and he's healthy enough to be a key contributor in that defense, which I think, you know, if you look at the points allowed and everything, it might not look like it. I think they're really starting to come together in all three phases in terms of D-line, linebacker, and secondary. So it would really benefit this team.
A quick update, because I just came across my timeline while you were talking there, Ryan. The Indianapolis Colts have placed Jonathan Taylor on the reserve COVID-19 list for this weekend, which also likely has some big fantasy implications for folks who either own him or Nyheim Hines. So just a quick update for folks who are listening, and that looks like that comes directly from the Indianapolis Colts at Colts on Twitter, along with a couple of other pretty significant roster moves. So it looks like teams around the league, Ryan, are dealing with COVID-19. Are you surprised that, and frankly, too, I think a lot of the I've seen some stories about how teams are having a lot of issues during the bye week, that players are leaving the facilities and maybe traveling or going places. I know there was a strict policy in place here in Buffalo. Are you surprised that the Bills maybe aren't having some of the issues across the league that other teams are seeing, considering they were on the bye week this week, and we know there's been some carryover for high test marks for teams that were just on a bye week?
Yeah, you know, yes and no. I think that every team, for the most part, is taking it seriously. And the fact that it fell over Thanksgiving, the bye here, it's interesting because obviously family members could be coming into Buffalo and we might see the effect of that down the road. But yeah, I just think it's kind of hit and miss here, because for a while Pittsburgh was very upset with everything going on with the Ravens, and all of a sudden they have their own outbreak that they're dealing with. And there's a report that came out about 10, 15 minutes ago that they're anticipating a lot of positive tests today. I just think that when one player ends up getting it, it just leads to this domino effect in these locker rooms for the most part. And, you know, the Bills had one little minor outbreak here with one player, and then obviously some close contacts who were held out of action. But you have to hope for their sake that that's all it is. But we're seeing it in college right now. We're seeing it in the pros. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason for it. I definitely don't think players are being lackadaisical about it. And in fact, you know, with Baltimore, it looked like it was the strength and conditioning coach, if I read that correctly, that wasn't taking the protocols too seriously. But the NFL is taking it pretty seriously. They have been all along. I believe I read that all team facilities will be shut down Monday and Tuesday this week. Probably a good way to deep clean the facilities to keep the player, you know, the players can do a lot of their meetings via Zoom and other means. But I think they realize that, hey, you know, we really do have to get this under control, because we're getting to the end of the regular season. And then for the playoffs, you don't want to go into a playoff game and have a key contributor. No, Jonathan Taylor is a key contributor for the Colts in a way, although he's a rookie, but even a bigger name, obviously. Look at like a Chiefs. If the Chiefs somehow lost Patrick Mahomes, for instance, you know, whoever ends up winning the Super Bowl that year, there'd be an asterisk next to that, because the best player in the league wouldn't be playing. And now, obviously, I don't want to see any key contributors go down, but the NFL has to be smart about this and maybe even think about bubble situations for the playoffs.
Ryan Talbot here of New York Upstate on the Western Hotline. Ryan, you know, Sale and I talked a little bit this morning when he came on at 11 about this offensive line You know, kind of moving forward, what the best five looks like now that we know Cody Ford is no longer an option moving forward for the rest of the season. I asked him about his confidence about the depth. I don't think, you know, I think for the most part, especially on the interior part of this offensive line, I don't think anybody really worries about the top of the roster at tackle or the depth behind it, because I think with Bates, with Ty and Secchi, I think that everyone feels like they're in a good place, both depth and on top of the roster at tackle. I think it's they starting to worry, though, internally on the internal part of this offensive line at guard and center. We know Mitch Morse is going to be back in the starting lineup at center, which likely slots John Feliciano back at guard. But the question becomes which guard, and the question to you becomes which combination do you believe gives them the most flexibility? Because I think right now you could probably make a case that they have a group that you would probably think is better for the run game and a group that you would probably think is better for the pass game. How do you get the best of both?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Personally, for me, it would be Deion Dawkins, Ike Butker, Mitch Morse. Then I would have John Feliciano at right guard with Darrell Williams at right tackle. The right side of this line has been a, I don't know if liability is the right word against in terms of the run game, but they've been very weak in terms of run blocking. Darrell Williams has been outstanding as a pass blocker. I think he's been a little below average as a run blocker. I think Brian Winters, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this. I'm not an offensive line coach, and I would not be shocked tomorrow if he is the starting right guard and you have Feliciano at left guard. But I've seen enough tape where I feel confident he's not one of those best five. Now, that said, I don't know all the ins and outs. I'm sure that Bobby Johnson and that coaching staff, there must be something they would like about him if he is rolling out there tomorrow at right guard. But personally for me, I feel like Butker's improved every game. I think that he's a solid blocker. I think if you have Feliciano as right guard, that helps your run blocking on that right side. I'm not sure if teams are starting to game plan now for the Bills running to their left. I've seen them become a little bit less effective running to that side over the last few weeks, so it's very possible. So if you can have some options on both sides that can block in terms of run blocking, I think that would benefit you the best. But we'll see tomorrow what they end up rolling out there and how it looks.
Yeah, and you know, I your point about running to the left is certainly one that I think that teams are more than likely picking up on. And one of the things I know that was conversation last week that I think is a really interesting conversation about what is wrong with the Bills running game. Because I think it's easy to look at Brian Daboll, Ryan, and say, well, Brian Daboll's just got to call better plays. And he's probably one, I know he's said that before, after games and when he's met with the media, is, hey, listen, you know, we're struggling to run the football, but that starts with me. I got to call better run plays. But I think, you know, Ryan, that goes maybe beyond acknowledging that Josh Allen has a lot of power at the line of scrimmage. I would say more
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Power to get in and out of plays at the line of scrimmage than any young quarterback in the league. I don't know a young one. I can't think of one off the top of my head like that is making and checking in and out of runs and passes at the line of scrimmage more than Josh Allen is. Do you think part of their issue running the football stems from defenses doing a good job of muddying Josh's pre-snap looks to make it harder for him to find the ideal run look?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think defense is starting to disguise things a little bit, where they're bringing guys up late to, where it looks like you have a favorable box from the defense, and then all of a sudden that's not the case. I think that some of Josh's decisions in general, too, could be questioned. On the plays where he holds the ball, you know, in Zach Moss's waist and waits the last second, it feels like 9 times out of 10 he ends up keeping the ball, and I think defenses are starting to see that. Okay, if they're going to those RPOs, it's Allen that's going to probably keep it most of the time. Let's guard him first. So maybe you come out and you give him that look and you give it to Moss and give it to Singletary and you change it up a little bit. And then with the audibles at the line, yeah, you know, Allen has to be a little bit better in terms of making sure he sees what he truly sees. But it's hard to criticize Allen much this year based on how the leaps and bounds he's made and how well he has audible at times. Go back to that Patriots game. I thought he was outstanding. I think he made everything that he thought Belichick was trying to do. He countered extremely well, and they ran the ball effectively in that game. And even though he didn't have gaudy passing stats, he was effective when needed. So, you know, you don't want to put too much of that on Josh's plate or on Josh's lap, but everyone can improve. And you're hoping over the bye week that they all sat down and said, okay, here's where we're really struggling in the run game. Here's where we're really struggling if when we get down maybe in the red zone and we're not able to punch in. Here's what maybe defenses are seeing. So, I'm interested to see how this team looks on both sides of the ball coming out of the bye week.
Ryan Talbot here of New York Upstate joining me to talk Bills and Chargers. And I wanted to get some of your thoughts, Ryan, on this Chargers team. I think I said it last segment to Marceau Louis-Jacques. They're probably the scariest 3-7 football team I've ever probably come across or at least can remember. And maybe scary because the Bills are 7-3 and they're a team that you look at this matchup and you like the Bills in almost every category. And I wonder, you know, where this Chargers team maybe concerns you the most. I think offensively is probably the way to go on this, but what about this offense in particular? Is it the weapons? Is it the player or quarterback right now? What scares you the most about this Chargers team and maybe what could be an upset in the making if the Bills aren't careful?
Well, I think Justin Herbert's the scariest part of this team. He looks nothing like a rookie out there. He's making great plays, great calls at the line. He's accurate with the ball. He's playing great football. And you know, I know I just said it's Herbert, but let's just say, hypothetically, if you get Austin Eckler back this week, too, then you have to worry about the run game even more than you had to maybe going into this game or thinking there was an outside shot he didn't play. So that offense has a lot of talent with or without Eckler. The wide receivers are very good. Keenan Allen can get open and hurt you, you know, multiple receptions, number one in the league in receptions, in fact. And then obviously Mike Williams is a big target that can hurt you in the pass game. So that offense in general can hurt you. They've been in almost every game this season. It's just they find ways to lose at the end. Kind of reminds me of the old Bills teams where they would hang around, and then at the end they couldn't come up with it at the end. But it's still, like you said, this team doesn't play like their record. They play good football. They keep themselves in games. The one thing working in Buffalo's favor is that Los Angeles has a lot of injuries on defense with Ingram out, with Uchenna Nwosu out, and obviously Casey Hayward possibly being the biggest player being out because he would have been the one on Stephon Diggs. So Diggs and Beasley, I think, could be in line for big games. I think the Bills are going to come out and try to establish the run. to become a more balanced team over this final stretch. So I think Buffalo's offense, like they have most of the season, can keep them in these games and ultimately help them pull away at the end.
All right, Ryan, last thing I got for you before you head off for the weekend here. I'm looking at the Bills' offense this week against, I think, what is a fairly banged up, I think, is an appropriate term to use for what the Chargers are dealing with at defensive end, at corner. We know that Desmond King's gone. So, like, they've got some holes all across that defense. Is this the kind of game you feel, based on what the Chargers do offensively, that this is another one of those games where the Bills likely to win probably have to score 30 points? And, like, if you look at the rest of the schedule, does it sort of feel like there's going to be a bunch of games coming up here where you're more than likely, maybe outside of just Denver and New England, like, I don't, and maybe even San Francisco, it depends on who's playing quarterback and how healthy they are offensively, but, like, it feels like 30 points is kind of the new benchmark for this offense, and if you're going to give yourself the best opportunity to win, if you score 30, you're going to have a really good chance. I think it goes for across the league, but I think the Bills can depend on that a little bit more than in years past.
Yeah, and I agree. I think 30 points is the benchmark. I have them scoring 38 tomorrow and actually kind of pulling away late in this game, but I think you need to score 30 against this Chargers team because Herbert can hurt you with one or two plays with that arm of his, and he's athletic. Like I already mentioned, the wide receivers there. So that team is going to score some points. You just have to hope that the Bills can force one or two mistakes in this game. You know, the one thing I'll say is I think that Jordan Poyer and Mike and I disguise what they're doing better than almost any safety duo in the NFL. So if there's one way to create a turnover, it's confusing Herbert in terms of what he thinks he sees at the line, maybe creating a turnover that way. The defensive line is suddenly creating more pressure. They're getting after the quarterback a little bit more. The Bills are blitzing more as well. So you might be able to get a turnover that way. So, yeah, I think this could be another one of those shootout games. So it's going to be up to the defense to create at least one turnover and for the Bills to get to that 30-point threshold.
Yeah, actually, Sale made a point this morning, Ryan. Like, this team right here, the Chargers coming in defensively, they already don't blitz. Like, they don't bring a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And in a game where, you know, like, you're not going to blitz, but you're also missing a whole bunch on your defensive line. It seems like the kind of recipe that you might worry about just how much Josh Allen could potentially go off in this game. Because if you let him sit back there and you give him time to throw the football, he's going to hurt you. And, you know, if you can't bring pressure, and it's not to say that bringing pressure is like his kryptonite either. He's played very well and has good numbers against pressure. But I do think, Ryan, sitting back and not bringing any pressure against Josh Allen, if you give him more than average 3 or 4 seconds on every play, he's going to eat you up with his arm.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, Cole Beasley is going to get open in that situation. Stephon Diggs is going to get open in that situation. Both are outstanding route runners. Both are guys that can obviously create separation right off the line. But if you give Josh Allen all day to get back there, they're going to sit in pockets of the defense and find spots for Josh to throw to them. And it would be. I think it would just be a situation of the Bills moving up and down the field on them all day long. So they're going to have to send a little bit more pressure than I think that they usually do. I believe they are last in the league in terms of blitzing. So they really do have to probably change that or tinker with that a little bit in this game to try to make Josh Allen a little uneasy to maybe force him into a mistake. But I really think that this could be a game where the Bills offense continues to look like that unit we saw against the Cardinals and against the Seahawks, as well as what we saw early this year in those first four games.
All right, my friend. As always, Ryan, appreciate the insight and all the info. We appreciate it. We look forward to the rest of the season and hearing your insights and checking out your work as well. So we appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll be talking again soon, I'm sure.
All right, thanks, and happy holidays.
Thanks, you as well, Ryan. Ryan Talbot there in New York Upstate and Syracuse.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.